How many here enjoy studying God's Word? All right, I love the Word of God. Okay, tonight's message is how to handle the unexpected. You know, we're 11 days away from Christmas, and like the song that Andy Williams used to sing, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It really is. It's my favorite time of the year. I love spending time with family. I love the gift exchanges. I like going to parks and neighborhoods and seeing the decorations and the lights on the shrubs and the trees. Enjoy the good food and watching wholesome Christmas movies. But as true followers of Jesus Christ, let us never lose sight of the fact that the simple reason for this season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus into this world over 2,000 years ago. In the hustle and the bustle and the fun of the season, let us never lose sight of the fact that we are celebrating the birth of Jesus into this world over 2,000 years ago. And so tonight we'll be reading about the birth of Jesus from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. Verse 1 of Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, verse 6, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Could you imagine? Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was born as a baby into this world, and there was no room in the inn. But thank God that God is merciful and gracious, right? So he was in the stable in a manger, and there were shepherds, verse 8, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So for the next few moments, we're going to talk about the unexpected visitation. You know, God in His wisdom chose to bring the message of Christ's birth to the shepherds first, most likely because they were just humble men. You know, the shepherds were lowly, marginalized members of society, and their profession was not looked well upon. You know, this night in Bethlehem, it was dark, and these shepherds were doing their work diligently in the fields, taking shifts, watching the sheep, guarding the sheep from predators. And maybe they were conversing with each other as they watched these sheep. And they were diligent, just quietly doing their work in the middle of the night, lowly men. And unexpectedly, a powerful angel surrounded by God's glory, the Shekinah glory of God, appeared to these men of low social standing. And they were what? When the angel appeared to them, they were what? They were terrified. One translation says they were sore afraid. You know, the brightness of the cloud surrounding this powerful angel must have stunned these lowly shepherds. You know, I think the unexpectedness of the visit made them sore afraid. They were just doing their work, watching these sheep, quiet, humble, to themselves, and boom, this powerful angel appears with a bright light around him, the Shekinah glory of God. And you know, when they saw the angel, they must have been stunned, and they were sore afraid because I believe of the unexpectedness of the visit from this powerful spiritual being. And so when they saw this angel who just showed up unexpectedly, their minds probably began to race. Like, they might have been thinking, did we do something wrong? Because they might have been thinking, is this angel bringing a rebuke or bad news? Because, you know, angels, after all, didn't always bring good news. If you go to Genesis 19, verses 12 and 13, these angels said that they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of its sin. And so they could have been thinking, these shepherds, man, is this angel bringing a rebuke to us? And you know, the angel sensed their fear and said what? He said, fear not. Fear not. I'm bringing good news. In other words, he was saying, I'm not bringing a rebuke. I'm not bringing bad news. I am bringing good news, which will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And when the angels assured the shepherds that he was bringing good news, it's like they were at peace. They were then calm. You know, as you and I go through life, situations will happen. Things happen in life. Life is tough. The Christian walk is not peaches and cream. And you know, certain choices that we make, behaviors that we exhibit, bring about expected results. I'm going to give you some hypotheticals here tonight. For instance, you may not have the best of diets. You might be eating high sugar foods, a lot of fatty foods. Maybe you're not exercising. And so this could bring about the expected result of a bad health diagnosis, right? You know, maybe that lady you're with, that woman you're married to, maybe you're not treating her well. Maybe you're talking down on her, and that could bring about the expected result of her maybe leaving you. You know, maybe you're at work and you're not very diligent. Maybe you're showing up late, you're leaving early, you're not being faithful to the boss, and that could bring about the expected result of a job loss, right? But think about this. What about when we make good choices? Think about this. What about when you make good choices and exhibit good behavior and make moral decisions and are following the word of God, and yet an unexpected situation crosses your path? An unanticipated event happens. A suddenly hits your life. Let me say it again. But what about when you're making good choices, moral decisions, reading the Word of God, attempting to live according to the Word of God, and yet an unexpected bad event hits your life? You receive maybe an unanticipated piece of news. A suddenly hits your life out of the blue. For instance, let me give you another few hypotheticals here. Maybe your diet is good and you're eating healthy foods and you're exercising 25 and 30 minutes a day, but unexpectedly, even though you were exhibiting good behavior, unexpectedly you're diagnosed with a bad health diagnosis. Or maybe you're treating your wife, your significant other, like a queen. You're the priest, you're the provider, and you are the protector. You love her, you're treating her well, but out of the blue, to your surprise, she decides that she wants to leave you. She wants a divorce. You know, maybe you've been faithful to your boss for years. Maybe you come in early, you stay late, you're diligent, you do what he tells you to do, and out of the clear blue, suddenly he's telling you that the job is being taken from you. What about that family member that you love, that mother, that father, that aunt, that uncle, that person that you had a close relationship with? You confided in that person. You poured out your heart to that person for years. That person was doing well. That person was seemingly healthy, and suddenly he or she passes away. You know, these suddenlies at times, these unexpected situations, these unanticipated events can cause us to fear and expect the worst possible results. And remember when the shepherds were hit with that suddenly, when the angel just suddenly appeared, unexpectedly showed up, they were struck with fear. They were sore afraid, and their minds began to race. And maybe last week, or maybe last month, or maybe yesterday, you were hit maybe with an unexpected event in your life. Maybe a suddenly has hit you just recently. And maybe your mind is racing tonight. And maybe fear is trying to get into your heart. And maybe you're imagining the worst to happen. But there's good news here tonight. You know, Jesus and the disciples were once also hit with a suddenly on the Sea of Galilee. You remember that? Remember that account? They were hit with a suddenly on the Sea of Galilee. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I'm going to read this to you guys tonight. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." They were in Capernaum, sailing to the other side of the lake. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, a storm, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Verse 41, they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So Jesus had been teaching by the lake on a boat. And later that day, in the evening, he and the disciples were on this boat sailing on the Sea of Galilee. And it was calm when they began to sail. And how do we know that? Because Jesus was sleeping in peace in the back of the boat. He was calmly sleeping on a cushion in the back of the boat. And then what happened? In the midst of smooth sailing, suddenly a storm hits. And you know, in Matthew's rendition of it, in Matthew 8:24, he said, "Suddenly this storm arises." And this boat is being rocked back and forth. Waves are getting into it. It's a dangerous situation, humanly speaking. And there's two responses in this account. There's the response of the disciples, and there's the response of Jesus. How did the disciples respond to this unexpected storm? They responded with fear. They expected the worst possible result. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They thought they were going to lose their lives. And then we have the response of whom? The response of Jesus. How did Jesus respond? He responded with trust in God, Father God, knowing the boat would not tip, that they would not die. How do we know that? Because as it was storming outside, and as that boat was moving, and as the waves were coming in, Jesus yet was in the back of the boat, sleeping in peace, on a cushion, in the middle of this life-threatening storm. And so my question to you tonight is this: whose response will you have when a suddenly hits your life? Maybe recently, a suddenly, an unexpected piece of news, an unanticipated event has hit your life. Or maybe after you leave this place tonight, a suddenly may hit you. Only God knows. My question tonight to you is this: whose response will you have when a suddenly hits your life? The response of the disciples, a response of fear, making your mind race like crazy, or the response of Jesus, who had full faith and trust in the Father? You know, Jesus knew in the middle of the storm that God was faithful, right? He knew that God would not let that boat tip. He knew that they would not drown. He knew that they would not lose their lives. He knew that the disciples, he knew that himself and the disciples were safe in the hollow of God's hand. You see, God is faithful. He will never let you down. God has got your back. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So when the suddenly hits your life, when the unexpected situation hits you like it did for the shepherds, like it did for the disciples and Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, you need to trust in God. And you know what? It's not always easy. Your mind will start wanting to race. But in the middle of that, you pray to God and say, what? God, I can't do this on my own. In my own human flesh, God, my mind is just racing. It's going crazy. Cry out to God. What does Paul write in Philippians chapter 4? What does he write? He writes this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, which includes the unexpecteds, you know, the suddenlies, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When it's hard to trust in God, when you're hit with that suddenly, start praying. Start praying to God when anxiety tries to hit you. And you say, God, this is tough. I can't do it on my own. This just suddenly happened in my life. I just can't believe this is happening to me, God. And I'm here to tell you, as you cry out to God by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, He will bring a peace within your soul that surpasses any human understanding. But you've got to cry out to God and to God in prayer and say, God, this is too hard for me. And God will give you His strength. Is that good news here tonight? Amen. Remember who is in your boat in your life. Who is in your boat? Who is in your life? Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. If you've put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, be it a week ago or a month ago or 15 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is in your boat. He is in your life. He is ruling and reigning upon the throne of your heart. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Say with me tonight: the Prince of Peace is in my boat. He's in my life. I will not fear when the suddenly and the unexpected crosses my path. And so the shepherds, when the shepherds realized the good news from the angel that the Prince of Peace was born and nearby, their fear was expelled and they were full of joy. They were in the presence of Jesus, this newborn babe. And it says in verse 20 of Luke chapter 2, the shepherds, after they saw the baby, shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They were full of joy. They saw the Prince of Peace, the Messiah, the Lord, the newborn babe, and their fear was cast out. It was expelled. They were full of joy and praising God. Remember, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, is in your life. He is nearby. When the suddenly hits, remember, He is in your boat. He is in your life with you. Your life, your boat is in the hollow of God's hands. He's not going to let you tip. He's not going to let you drown. You're not going to lose your life. We serve a miracle-working God. All things are possible for those who believe. Nothing is impossible with God. He can do a 180 with your life. He specializes in taking seemingly impossible situations and making them possible again. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. In the midst of your unexpected events, whether it has come or will come, diligently seek God in prayer. What type of faith does God honor? He honors a faith that trusts and rests in him. You know, I'm reading this devotional by Billy Graham. It's called Hope for Each Day, Words of Wisdom and Faith. And I really enjoyed this one illustration that he gives from October 24th. He says, Dwight L. Moody was fond of pointing out that there are three kinds of faith in Jesus Christ. Three kinds. Struggling faith, which is like a man floundering and fearful in deep water. Clinging faith, which is like a man hanging to the side of a boat, and resting faith, which finds a man safe inside the boat, strong and secure enough to reach out his hand to help someone else. Notice that each man had faith. Each knew the boat was his only hope, but only one had a resting faith. Only one had discovered he could actually be in the boat where all he had to do was rest. This is the kind of faith God wants us to have. A faith that trusts Him totally. Maybe right now you're at the stage of having a clinging faith. A floundering faith with this unexpected that has hit you. But God wants you to have a resting faith by trust and faith in Him. But sometimes we discover its reality, the resting faith, only after we have endured a struggling or clinging faith. Sometimes we only realize we can get in the boat when the storm rages and we cry out to God with new faith. Then our Savior graciously extends his hand and says, come to me and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Are you in the boat with a resting faith? Then look around you. Use what you know to be true of God to help strengthen someone else's faith. There's always room for more in the boat. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says to me that with faith, it is possible to please God. It's faith that pleases God. Trust in God, which pleases Him in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the suddenly of your life. How do you strengthen your faith in God? How do you strengthen your faith in your trust in God, that's so that you could rest, like the devotional was saying? How do you strengthen your faith in God? Anybody have any ideas? You got to be in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to be reading God's autobiography. This is written by God, about God, so that we can learn about God. Him. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that as you get into the Word of God, it'll build you up. You'll read in the Gospels of the miracles of Jesus, and that will strengthen your faith. You will realize the God that did miracles in the Old Testament and in the New Testament never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the God that did miracles way back when is the same God who can do a miracle in your life starting tonight in 2024. Amen?
Amen?
And remember, another way to strengthen your faith is to remember God's miracles of yesteryear in your life. Remember what God did for you in your past. Psalm 77 is a great scripture. Psalm 77, verse 11, the psalmist writes, he says this. He says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Remember back at that time where you maybe were hungry and you didn't even have food for a day, and miraculously God supplied you with the resources for a week's worth of food or more. And so maybe today you're facing a bigger obstacle. Remember, the God who provided then the resources can provide for you in a bigger way today. Maybe today you're facing an insurmountable, maybe, medical bill. It's bigger than you expected. It's harder than you expected. Friends, I'm here to tell you, remember what God did for you in the past, back then. The same God who did it for you back then is the same God who can do it for you today in a bigger way. Don't forget the miracles of yesteryear, of what God did in your past. Remember those. The same God who did it then is the same God who can do it today. When the suddenly hits your life and your mind wants to race, oh my goodness, I got this bad health diagnosis. Am I going to die young? Or she left me, I'll always be alone. Or, you know, I lost this job and I'll never be able to get another one. When your mind races and expects the worst possible outcome, counter it with faith and trust in God. And if the enemy is putting those thoughts in your mind, you just say, in the name of Jesus, devil, I rebuke you. You have no authority over my mind. Jesus Christ rules and reigns on the inside, and his peace guards my heart and my mind. Rest safely in the hands of God. Just trust God. And when it's tough to trust him, like I said a few moments ago, when it's hard to trust God, just cry out to God. Just cry out to God in prayer and say, God, I can't do this on my own. And God will give you the strength to trust. He will fill you miraculously with an unexplainable peace in your soul, in your spirit, and in your mind. The suddenlies will come to our lives. The unexpected situations will come. The unanticipated events will cross our paths. And how do you handle the unexpected? You handle it by trust in God. How do you build your trust and your faith in God? By reading the Word of God, by crying out to God, and by remembering the miracles that God did for you in the past. He did miracles for you in the past. He can do them in a bigger way today for you. Amen. Is that making sense here tonight? Yeah. All right. And as you were listening, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never even accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior once, but tonight I want to do it for the first time. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, but tonight for the first time you're wanting to do that, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. First time? Prayer, sir? Stand up. That's awesome. Amen. Anybody else for the first time wanting to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? See, it's only when you put your faith and your trust in him, like this man is about to do, that the Prince of Peace takes up residence on the inside of you. Anybody else for the very first time wanting to accept Jesus as your Savior? All right, brother, repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus,
dear
I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. Today, I put my faith and my trust in you. Be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. What I do with my body, my spirit, and my mind. Jesus, I love you. Give me the strength. Give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life here on this earth. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Give him a hand tonight. Maybe there's some of you out there tonight that accepted Jesus at some point in the past, but maybe you got upset with God about something. You got upset with somebody. And you've slipped away from Jesus. But tonight you want to re-give, rededicate your life back to Jesus Christ. If that's you here tonight, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Stand up. Doesn't matter what somebody around you is thinking, only what God thinks about you. Only what God thinks about you is what matters. Anybody else want to follow their lead? If God is whispering to you by the Holy Spirit saying you need to do this, then you need to do it. Because guess what? The next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to slip into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you'd be in the presence of God in heaven? If not, you need to do it tonight. Are you wanting to re-give, rededicate your life back to Jesus? Are you wanting to rededicate, re-give your life back to Christ? You can do it now. That's awesome. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Anybody else? Anybody else want to follow their lead? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If God is tugging at your heart by the Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Listen to the voice of God. Anybody else? All right, those standing up, come forward. Anybody else want to follow what these men are doing tonight? We have a volunteer here, Brother Roy, and he'll be willing to pray with anybody after service as well. All right. Those standing up tonight, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I love you. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. But tonight, I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. I love you, Jesus. God, give me the strength to follow your Son, Jesus, to follow you all the days of my life on this earth. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you, Jesus, face to face. Amen. Welcome back to God's family. Welcome to God's family. It's a first-time prayer. First time you said the prayer. Awesome. And just say, Dear Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying upon the cross for my sins. Be my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brothers. God bless you. God bless you, sir. All right. Give him a hand tonight. For those tonight that recommitted their lives to Christ, that gave their lives to Christ for the very first time, some of the things you can do to remain close to Christ, spiritual disciplines, is to get into the Word of God on a consistent basis. Not just once a year at Christmas, but you got to be in the Word of God consistently, on a consistent basis. And you got to pray to God, find other solid Christian friends, go to church services, all right? And as you do that, you'll remain close to Jesus. May God richly bless you. Have a very merry and blessed Christmas. We'll see you next month. And this brother here is going to close it off tonight.
Thank you very much, Sean.
God bless you, brother.
A couple quick announcements.